The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 5, text number 24, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 30th, 2013, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yon takshukontar aramastatantar jyotireva se yogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuto digacchati. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. Purport. Unless one is able to relish happiness from within, how can one retire from the external engagements meant for deriving superficial happiness? A liberated person enjoys happiness by factual experience. He can therefore sit peacefully at any place and enjoy the activities of life from within. Such a liberated person no longer desires external material happiness. This state is called Brahmabhuta, attaining which one is assured of going back to home, back to Godhead. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gudun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahidam Krishna Jaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Badan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Shamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nyavishesha Shunyavadi Pashtacha Desha Tadine. So, why is this a valuable concept? Because actually there is no genuine happiness in the external energy. The happiness of the external energy is called Maya Sukhaya. It's not real happiness. It's the illusion of happiness. We think, well, if I have some money, if I have some prestige, if I'm surrounded by loving family members, then I can find happiness. But actually, there's no happiness in this material existence. It is simply called Maya Sukhaya, illusory happiness. And even if you have some happiness, it is always tinged with anxiety. Because deep down within you know it can be taken away at any minute. Just like some factory worker, you know, working at a steel mill, and some hellish steel mill. He saves up his money. He saves up his vacation time. He's always thinking, yes, someday I will go to the Fiji Islands. And he's looking forward to that. After many years of scrimping and saving, he's on the airplane to Nandi. He takes the small airplane over to Tabiuni. And now I think, oh, I'm very happy here I am in this, in Tabiuni Island. It's a tropical paradise. Oh, I'm so happy. But then he thinks, I'm only here for 6 more days. So even though he's feeling happiness, the anxiety, only 6 more days. And I have to go back to the hellish factory. Oh my goodness. Now 5 more days. Now 4 more days. 3 more days. The misery is there as soon as he gets to the enjoyment. He's dreading having to go back. So he's not really fully enjoying, even when he's enjoying, you understand? So material happiness is like that. Even if you think you're happy, deep down inside there's a gnawing anxiety, knowing this is temporary, it's going to be taken away from me. So you, even when you're enjoying material life, you can't fully enjoy it. It is always tinged with anxiety. Therefore, the attempt to enjoy the external energy is always going to be futile, even if by great pious activities you can be elevated to the post of Lord Brahma, the demigod in charge of the whole material universe. Even that position is an anxiety-ridden position. What is the proof? That is stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text number 16. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravarti narjuna. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, every single place is a place of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But Krishna says to Arjuna, but one who attains to my abode, punarjanmana vidyate, he never takes birth again. So, being situated within means reconnect with Krishna. Krishna can give you unlimited happiness. Krishna is God. He's the Supreme Person. He's the God of all the gods. In India, we hear about so many different gods, but if you study the authoritative scriptures, you will see that all those gods act under the direction of Krishna. Srishti stati pralaya saddana shaktareka Shayeva Yashabhuavani Vivarti Durga. Each Chanda Rupam api Yashita Testa Tesa Govindam Aripurusham Tamaham Bhajami. The external potency Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the Chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. So all these different gods and goddesses, Ganesh, Brahmaji, Lord Shiva, Durga, etc., it's Brahma, etc., they're all acting under the order of Krishna, because Krishna is the Supreme. His abode is beyond this material existence. Brahma's planet will be destroyed. You see? But Krishna's planet will not be destroyed. So instead of wanting to go to some heavenly planet, worshipping some demigod who only has a temporary position and can only give temporary happiness, one should focus on devotion to Krishna, because Krishna can give eternal, does, not that he can, but he does give eternal happiness to those who take shelter of him. So going within means to take interest in spiritual life. It means to focus on the holy name of God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You have an external identity, your material body, but within that external body, you have an internal identity as the eternal servant of Krishna. You see, the eternal servant of Krishna is your actual identity. It's an internal identity. It's covered right now by the external body. So, as long as I think that I am this body, then I'm caught up in the miseries of material existence. So you should go within to your actual identity as a spiritual being, a servant of God. And the Hare Krishna mantra, or any name of God, but especially the Hare Krishna mantra, is powerful to free you from the clutches of the external energy, situate you fully within your actual spiritual identity. If you will set aside some quality time every morning for intensive absorption in meditating on the Hare Krishna mantra or any name of God, but especially the Hare Krishna mantra, if you will set aside some quality time to intensely absorb yourself every day in meditation on the holy name of the Lord, that will connect you with the Lord who is seated within your heart. You will find that you have a relationship with him as servant, eternal servant. As you advance in this chanting, you will actually feel how Krishna is present when you invoke his name with sincere love. You will feel how you can directly associate with God. And then you can handle whatever the external energy may throw at you because you have your connection within. Even when you go to your office, or you go out to your college, or you get out in the traffic, you still have your connection within with Krishna. You still have your connection within that I'm not this body, I'm the eternal servant of God. So your happiness is the development, the maturing of that internal consciousness, that internal realization. That is your happiness. Not making more money, not getting a promotion at the office, not getting a new car. Those things are okay, but they do not bring satisfaction to the self. It is clearly stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ahaitaki apratiyata yatma supersediti. Only by unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service can one become satisfied. So, are people writing questions? Anybody have any questions? Okay, here's a question. Okay, how can one best deal with anxiety, a panic attack? Well, I have one right now. I locked myself out of my room. It's an example. I have to find somebody who has another key. I'm locked out of my room. So, instead of being anxiety about it, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, I could die, right? I mean, in the material world, death is the ultimate, the final thing. So, if you can philosophically detach yourself from even the heaviest thing that could happen, which is death, by fully understanding that you're not your body, and you're the eternal servant of the Supreme, and your actual identity is far, far beyond this material existence, where life is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, then any other thing that may happen, like, you know, a traffic accident, or, you know, losing your keys and being locked out of your room, like I am right now, it's not a big deal. Because, you know, something can be done. You just have to be patient. Something can be worked out. So instead of having a panic attack, if something heavy happens, just go Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And in this way, you realize, well, it seemed like a big thing, but it really wasn't a big thing. I remember even as a little child, I had a panic attack as a little kid at a summer camp. But it really wasn't anything to panic over. But in my mind, I made a mountain out of a molehill. There wasn't really anything to be anxiety about at all, but I imagined I was in a horrible predicament. So actually, whatever anxiety we may think we have, it's based on a false conception of being the body. If you can detach yourself from the bodily conception and remind yourself, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, this is more or less a dream state going on here right now. You see, right now I'm dreaming. I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm an Indian, I'm an Aussie. This is a dream state. So if you remind yourself, this is not really the ultimate reality, this is just a temporary covering of the real reality, then whatever may happen is not that big of a deal. You just detach yourself from it philosophically, take shelter of Krishna who is within your heart, and understand that he's ultimately controlling everything and that he's ultimately merciful, unlimitedly merciful to each and every living entity at every minute. So in this way, there's no reason to ever be afraid or scared or bewildered, because Krishna is always there as your loving protector, your loving well-wisher, your best friend. The person who controls everything is your best friend. So what's the difficulty? There is no difficulty. We just imagine there's difficulties. How should we offer obeisances to the deities while entering the temple room? Left side. That's the etiquette with your left side. Now, when you, it's nice, especially when it's to that we have to each altar, you can offer your obeisances. That's the nicest etiquette, at least once in the day, to offer to three times. One, the first altar, Gornitai, and then Shishi Radha Balava, and then Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. What should be the mood for taking darshan? I'm the humble servant. Actually, it's described in the scriptures that one should first meditate on the lotus feet and then move up the knees, the waist, like that, the chest, and then finally the face. Very humble position, humble mood. Presenting yourself as a servant. Well, my dear Lord, I'm your humble servant. I now come and offer myself unto you. Kindly engage me in your service. That's the right mood. Is it enough for a person to chant 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra daily? When will a change in the consciousness occur? Actually, the change in consciousness comes the first time you say Hare Krishna. It's already changed. But it's a very subtle, gradual process. Just like you may have a little child and you don't see that he's growing. But Aunt Susie, who hasn't seen him for 3 years, they go, wow, he's grown so much. You didn't notice he was growing because you're with him at every minute. But someone who is seeing him after 3 years, wow, he really grew. You see, so actually we're advancing at every minute. Every time you utter Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, your consciousness is changing. So, is it enough to chant 16 rounds daily? Just barely. Just barely. So if you want to, if you'd like to advance more, then chant more. On the beads or off the beads. Actually, Prabhupada said to chant 24 hours a day. He said you can chant while you're in the shower. You can chant while you're walking down the street, while you're riding on the bus. You don't have to chant on your beads necessarily. 16 rounds should be on the beads. But off the beads you can chant so many times. The more the better. When you're walking up the stairs, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. When you're walking down the stairs, Hare Krishna. When you're shaving your face, combing your hair, Hare Krishna. Why not throw some extra mantras in? What is the loss? Throw in as many extra mantras as you can at every minute throughout the whole day, and you'll be amazed at how you feel at the end of the day. I guarantee you. What is eternal identity? There are the external energy and the internal energy. The internal energy means the spiritual energy. So what is the spiritual identity? I am the servant of Krishna. How do we recognize it? By vibrating Hare Krishna mantra and tasting prasadam, that internal or spiritual identity will gradually become fully awakened. Please elaborate on the ten offenses against chanting. Well, I did that yesterday. You didn't attend the initiation lecture. That's a whole lecture in itself. Maybe I'll give a summary. Which one is the best path to reach God? Bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, karma yoga, dhyana yoga. Krishna clearly states, yoginam api sarvesham madgatena tadatmana shadavamajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. Of all the yogis, the one who is always thinking of me within himself, always worshipping me with love and devotion, he is the highest of all yogis. He is the most intimately connected with me. So Krishna makes it very clear in chapter 6, text number 47, that if you want to be on the highest level of yogic perfection, worship Krishna with love and devotion. So, there's no other questions except for the 10 offenses. So we'll go through them. The first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name. Actually, the devotees are very, very dear to Krishna. So we have to learn to appreciate Krishna's devotees. They are very rare. Sometimes when we're constantly in the association of devotees, we start to take them for granted. We start to look at their faults more than we do at their good qualities. And in this way, we commit offense against Vaishnavas. So we have to realize these people are very, very special to Krishna. Even the neophyte devotee who's just beginning the process, who's still overcoming his anarthas, because he's sincerely taking up this pathway, he's very, very dear to Krishna. So, if we don't feel that the Vaishnavas are dear to us, there's some offense in our hearts against them. So we have to learn how to always appreciate the devotees. These are very special personalities, and I am blessed by their association. In this way, one will not be offensive towards devotees, and one will be able to advance nicely on the pathway. Actually, an insider's secret in this connection is that you can only develop a relationship with Krishna's name to the extent that you develop loving relationship with devotees. If I don't have good relationship with devotees, that means I can't have a good relationship with the name. Krishna won't accept. Krishna says, unless you're the devotee of my devotee, you're not my devotee. So one has to develop that mood of devotion towards Vaishnavas, even if there's a disagreement. We can't always agree on everything. But that doesn't mean we should become inimical. We may not agree, but we always have to appreciate the devotees, even if we have some difference of opinion. We all agree to serve Krishna. We all agree to serve our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, our founder, Acharya. So there may be some disagreements about different details, but they're only details. The essential thing we all agree on. And therefore we should always appreciate the fact that this person has dedicated his life to Krishna, this person has dedicated his life to Srila Prabhupada. And we should appreciate these devotees for that thing. And in this way, by having that proper mood of appreciation for devotees, then we'll be able to really relish the holy name of Krishna, really be able to taste the sweetness. You see, in the beginning, sometimes because we have a tongue which is in a jaundice-like condition, the name of Krishna, which is actually unlimitedly sweet, we don't experience the sweetness. We take it as some mechanical process, some austerity I have to do. Well, I have to utter this mantra so many times every day. But if we carefully chant it every day as a matter of following the order of our spiritual master, as a matter of following the order of our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, then gradually the power of the name will overcome the ignorance, the avidya-like state that we are in, and this full sweetness of the name will manifest. So the second offense is to consider the names of the demigods to be the same as the name of Krishna. As I quoted that verse from the Brahma Samhita, Durga Devi is a servant of Krishna. There's a similar verse, Ganesh, he is holding the pair of Tumali, those tusks, you see. He's holding the lotus feet of Krishna on those tusks in order to gain power for his function of removing all the obstacles on the path of progress in this world. So Ganeshi is the obstacle remover, but he gets that power from Krishna. You see? He doesn't independently have any power. So all the demigods, they are getting, they have powers, but that's all coming to them from Krishna. So if you go directly to Krishna, you've come to the original source of all the power. Not necessary to go to them. We respect the demigods. They are devotees. They are great, great devotees. But we don't require to worship them separately. We simply worship Krishna, and automatically all the demigods are worshipped. Because Krishna is Deva Deva. He is the God of the gods. When we worship Krishna, all the gods and goddesses shower their blessings upon us. So the third offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. This is offense because it is the duty of the disciple to accept the orders of his or her spiritual master as the very life and soul of their existence. The very purpose of their existence is to serve the order of their spiritual master. So to disobey that order, it's suicide. It's suicidal. Therefore, one must not disobey the order of the spiritual master. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature, or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. Transcendental literatures must always be respected because Krishna is present within them. The fifth offense is to consider the glories of a holy name to be an imagination or exaggeration. The fact is that the name of Krishna is so powerful that one pure utterance of Krishna can eradicate more sins than you can commit in millions and billions of lifetimes. Why are we not getting released immediately? Because our chanting is not very developed yet. But as we develop the power of chanting, volumes and volumes, lifetimes and lifetimes of sinful karma will be immediately expunged. So there's no question of too much glorification of the name. Because why? Because Krishna Nama is Krishna Purusha. The person Krishna and the name Krishna are one and the same. Krishna is fully present in his name. That person who controls everything, Param Eshvar, the supreme controller, he is fully present in his name. The sixth offense is to give some mundane interpretation on the holy name. This is the pastime of the Sanskrit scholars. Well, Krishna means black, and black means ignorance, and therefore Krishna means ignorance. Don't listen to such mundane speculators. You hear from the great acharyas what is the meaning of Krishna, the word Krishna. Don't hear from the mundane scholars who have no access. Advaitam achyuttam anadam anantarupam Ajang Purana Purusham Novayam Jivasa Vedeshu Durlama Durlama Vatta Bhakto Govindamadi Purusham Damaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is inaccessible to the Vedas, but obtainable by pure, unalloyed devotion of the soul. So the scholars, they may have some Vedic knowledge, but they have no bhakti. Therefore, they have no access to understand Krishna. So you must hear from the acharyas, from the great Vaishnava acharyas. Don't hear from little pipsqueak scholars, even though they may have big title, PhD. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. We just explained how the holy name can cleanse one of so many volumes of sinful activities. So it doesn't mean, well, I feel like sinning, so I'll go ahead and have a little splurge tonight down at the bar, and then I'll chant some extra rounds tomorrow to make up for it. You see? Don't use the holy name as some machine to allow yourself to engage in sinful activity. Krishna will see your cheating mentality and you will not work. The eighth offense is to consider the Hare Krishna mantra as an auspicious ritualistic activity, such as those found in the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. Don't use the holy name for material purpose. Well, I'm going for a job interview today, and I'm going to do some extra chanting, so, to ask Krishna to help me get the job. You don't need to do that stuff. Don't use the name for material purpose. Just surrender fully to Krishna and he'll arrange everything perfectly in your life. As a little child, did you have to ask your mother and father to feed you? Mommy and daddy, will you feed me today? Any of you ever asked your parents that question? No. The parents took good care because we're their children. We are God's children. Do you think he cannot take care of us? We have to ask him, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me. This is ignorance. To use the holy name to get this and that and this and that. It's complete ignorance. If we beg the Lord, please give me pure bhakti, that prayer is the best prayer. And everything will come. Ananya chintayantamang yejana paryapatate tesham nichabhyuktanam yogache mam vaham yaham. Krishna clearly states, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 22. He says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. What does that mean? Prabhupada told us, that means that Krishna will personally deliver to your door whatever you need. Well, I didn't see him coming to my door, someone may argue. But are you exclusively devoted to Krishna? There's the catch. You see, you have to be exclusively devoted to Krishna. So instead of trying to use Krishna as my order supplier, Krishna, give me this, Krishna, give me that, we're defeating our own purpose by doing that. Instead of doing that, beg for pure bhakti. Beg to develop more and more of a mood of surrender. And the more you do that, you'll see everything comes automatically of its own accord. But if you beg and beg and beg, you're just defeating your own purpose. So don't use the holy name for some material purpose. It's not worth it. The ninth offense is to instruct the faithless persons about the glories of the holy name. We want to tell everyone about Krishna, but you have to be very intelligent to present our science to them at a level that they can understand. If you present it in such a way that they become critical and blasphemous, then that is considered an offense. You have to know, you have to learn from senior devotees what is the art of how to present the science of Krishna consciousness to all different types of people. The tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. The fact is, if you actually take shelter of Krishna's name, every day you utter his name sincerely, you'll become more and more attached to Krishna. That's a fact. And as you become more and more attached to Krishna, those material attachments will just evaporate. You don't have to try to just become detached from material things so much. It's not that. That's not Krishna consciousness. It happens automatically. And just try to become more and more attached to Krishna. And then all those other attachments will fall by the wayside. And there's also an extra principle to not be inattentive while chanting. We have a tendency, our minds are like dancing monkeys, to jump here, jump there, jump here, jump there. Bring that monkey mind under control. First thing is try to feel, understand that Krishna is present. Try to feel how Krishna is present when you're chanting Hare Krishna. And then naturally you'll pay attention. But if you can't do that, at least say, okay, I have to fix my mind on the name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this way, if you can avoid these offenses, you'll become very solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. The time of death, no problem. Yeah.
This is for the initiated devotees. Would you consider the seventh offense if a devotee is chanting and initiating, and if they break the principle, is he committing sinful activities on the...
So the question is, if somebody has an fall down when they're sincerely trying and they slip, is that considered the seventh offense? No. Seventh offense is if you intentionally try to take advantage of the name. It's not an act. Doesn't refer to accidental fall down. No.
That's my question. One who breaks the one of the four related principles. Continue.
Accidentally, if one does it. If one premeditatively does it, thinking by chanting he'll make up for it, that's the offense. But if one just, due to past bad habits, he slips and falls along the pathway, it's not considered the seventh offense. No, it's not. It's a matter of your intention. You were trying your best, but you just got carried away by some past bad habit. That's not considered the breaking a nama param. Huh?
Breaking the principle.
Breaking the principle accidentally.
Regularly.
Regularly? If you're doing it regularly, then obviously there's some intention there. Then that becomes a namaparanya. If you're doing it regularly, you know, every night I fall down, every morning I chant extra round. No. Then that's namaparanya. So I think we're getting ready for the japa time. Okay. Well, we're so happy you've all come to the Hare Krishna temple here. Please take advantage of this place. It's a spiritual oasis. This place will help you connect with Krishna and get that connection with Krishna, and then take that connection with you wherever you go. And if you do so and you master this art, this will be your last lifetime in the material world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Krishna Maharaj ki jai.